Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this week's edition of Deep Thoughts from the Shallow End. Glad you all could make it. Sorry for the fuzziness on the playback there. I will find out what's creating that by the time we get together again. I am Ben Plowman, your certified life coach and certified hypnotherapist. And as always, I'm joined by the irascible Dr. Melba Black.
Oh my gosh, she looked up a fancy word for me this time.
How are you?
I love this weather. I can breathe. I haven't even asked you to cut the AC on today.
But I did anyway. Okay. It's already on.
He does. Ben treats me well as far as that. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing quite well, thank you. And folks, as always, we're brought to you by the Sphere Innovation Group, where we do hypnotherapy, Reiki, and life coaching.
Yes.
Amongst other things. And if you want to check us out, look at www.sphereinnovationgroup.com. And if you would like to be part of the show, give us a call at 657-383-1561. That's 657-383-1561. So, Melba, our topic today is kind of an interesting one. We decided that we talked a whole lot about life coaching. Mm-hmm. And we kind of came with an idea that maybe the folks out there, it's kind of hard to just make an appointment with a life coach. So maybe we could help to take the fear out. We kind of reenact a little bit about what an abbreviated life coaching session might sound like.
Yeah, just give them a little, give our listeners just a kind of a vignette of what we do and what the process is. And
yeah. And about the questions that get asked and what the process may feel like. So many times, I know that the unknown is much more fearful than the known.
Of course it is.
You know?
I'm sure you've got
a whole scientific reason for that.
Well, you know, I do, but we're not going to bore you with that. But it is true. And you probably got a lot of information about that, too, because our subconscious mind always remembers the past. Hey, don't do this. This may happen again. Uh-oh, you know.
It works completely off the past.
Yeah.
And your subconscious is more afraid of change than anything else.
And don't you think, the reason behind that, I know this scientifically proven with all the synapses and all the gyro machinations of the brain, but bottom line is, it wants to survive.
Right. Exactly.
Survival is very important.
But yet it's more afraid of change than death.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor can tell you if you don't quit smoking, you're going to die.
Right.
And that's not enough impetus for the subconscious to change its tune and stop the psychological desire for cigarette.
True.
You know, because it's such change. I know what to do. Until you replace the reaction to certain triggers, stress, and so on, is something else. And once you've replaced it, subconscious gives up the cigarette.
I just don't ever believe that fear is a viable motivation.
No, it is not. And I mean, hence the whole insurance world, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's a fear-based model.
It is.
Right? If you don't have insurance, then you're going to go, something's going to happen and you're going to go broke, right?
Yeah, and the alarm security people advertisements the same way.
Right.
Really?
Right, exactly. It's all fear-based.
Yeah.
And so what we're going to try and do, folks, is take some of that fear out of going to call, giving and calling and working with a life coach. Because it's not deep, dark, you know, psychological, you know, oh, this happened when I was a kid, I don't want to talk about it. That's not where we're going with this.
Yeah, we're not counselors.
Right, that's not what's going to be going on. You know, what's going on is, well, what do you want? You know, what is it you're trying to achieve?
Yeah.
Something, it could be something really easy. I don't know what Melba's got picked out for today. We have not talked about this before, about what. So
we do our best work when we don't plan anyway.
Minimal planning is much better.
But just a couple of things about before we get into our role playing is if you're thinking about a life coach, we are here to support you and encourage you. And whatever it is important to you, it's important to us too, to help you get there. So don't ever think there's anything too silly or too out there. We want to help you with whatever is driving your motivation.
Right. We're completely non-judgmental in that regard.
Are.
It's about, because you're the only one that knows what makes you happier, what you're trying to achieve. It's not up to me to figure that out. I'm just trying to help you figure it out. And if you think of life coaching as when you walk down your favorite bookstore and you go into the self-help section.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine that is like walking into the life coach's office, except now instead of you having to read a book and try and extrapolate and put into words and create all these machinations for you to be successful, mm-hmm. you come to the life coach and he can help you hold you accountable and all those kinds of things that are already in place to help you achieve the goal that you're trying to.
I think accountability is imperative for success. And accountability doesn't mean we're going to beat you over the head with if you miss a deadline. We just want to, you have somebody to report back to, either successes or something that hasn't been followed through. And so we actually, if there is a bump in the road, we want to help you with the bump in the road.
Well, that's exactly right, because the bump could be for many reasons, because it's the wrong goal.
Yes.
Right? That's why whatever it is never quite gets done. It's not... that's not the right spot to be.
Goals are not written in stone, are they?
No. Or it could be something that is just unobtainable. That step was too big. It's one to take.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like, you know, you can't go from 0 to 1 million miles an hour. You have to, you know, start slow.
So, you have to kind of train for it a little bit, don't you?
That's true. So that's what we're, you know, that's what kind of working with a life coach kind of feels like. It feels like you're working at your pace.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one setting the goals. You're the one picking the goal. You're the one that's breaking down the steps. Now, the life coach is going to help you break down the steps smaller and smaller until it's nice and bite-sized.
Right. It's something that doesn't feel like you're so overwhelmed and accomplishing.
Right. Right. Because if you think about starting your own business, right, think of it. And most of us leap to, I've got the big corner office. It's all puffing along. I've got employees. I've got a secretary. I've got an admin or whatever the right word might be.
Kind of romanticizing about what that feels like and looks like.
Yeah,
and then reality hits, right?
And you live right over working out of the big closet in the spare room.
Yeah.
It was your office, you know.
The buck stops with you kind of thing because you're responsible for everything.
For everything, So that's what a life coach can help you do, is help you maintain that dream of the corner office with the staff, right? And the steps to get there.
Yeah, and we're not discouraging anybody from starting their own businesses. We just want to make sure that you've got the right tools and the right toolbox.
Exactly. That you understand what the first step might be.
Mm-hmm.
And the first step for one person is completely different for another.
Sure it is. And depending on what kind of business you are,
the skill level you have, and all those kinds of things.
So, yay.
So at any rate, Melba is now going to play the client, and I'll play the life coach.
Okay.
And then we'll see where we go.
And this is a real scenario. I'm not just making this up. This is for real, me asking Ben to help me come up with some strategies.
Okay. Perfect. So what is that, Melba?
So I retired in this past July, and Social Security retirement funds, but I still am going to have to come up with some extra income just for me to maintain where I am now, which is not extravagant by any means. I don't have a boat on the lake. I don't have a mountain cabin. I just have this little townhome in a nice little subdivision, you know. So I really want to try to get some ideas on bringing in some income, but Ben, here's the caveat. I don't want to do stuff I don't like to do.
Well, that's a good caveat.
And I know the things I like to do is what we do together. Mm-hmm. Like we teach classes, we have a radio show, we do the circles and the group, the meetups. But all of those are wonderful, but I need to make sure that I'm bringing in a certain amount of money each month.
Mm-hmm. So have you made a list of the things that you like to do?
I have, actually.
And have you ranked them?
No, I have not.
Well, think that might help?
I think it would help. I do. You know, I was talking to one of my clients yesterday about there may be things that you're really good at, but you don't particularly like to do them. So
that's actually true.
There's a lot of things that I'm good at because I'm 62 years old and I just, whatever I felt like doing or getting a class or I just go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
But now I want to hone in on, I need to prioritize what those things are, what really I want to do or like to do.
And if I were, you might think about creating this list, right? And then ranking them in things with fun.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then rank them in earning potential.
Okay.
Just a thought. That way you can kind of see where things line mm-hmm. up, right?
This and is can I mix and match them?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, ADHD, we got to have all kinds of things
in
the fire going on.
Absolutely. And this may help you kind of prioritize. Well, okay. Well, the number one thing I'd like to do really isn't the monetary.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so maybe I move that to two
right.
because there's another one that fits into your monetary goals.
Right, and it's not so much about me creating that money. It to me, my perspective, and maybe you can shed some light on this, is how many people am I going to be able to serve? How many people am I going to be able to help? Plus bringing that in.
Yeah, and that's exactly a great thought, but you've leapt five steps down the path.
Oh.
Don't you think? You know, if you think about, well, first I need to figure out what.
Yes.
Right? And then it would be, well, how many people how many people are interested in getting that particular service class?
Sure.
Whatever. When we created Sierra Innovation Group, I would have loved to put it in my hometown of Dahlonega, Georgia.
Sure.
It's a very small community.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot. Most people are employed in rural America, which, you know, farming and so on. And so there wasn't a lot of earning potential there. So not a lot of discretionary.
Gotcha. Because logistics is and a factor, right?
Right. So that's why I moved down to where we are with a little more populace to pick from.
Sure. But I like the idea of what you said is writing it down, prioritizing it, and I pretty much know what the income, the revenue would be on certain things because I've been doing it on the side for a long time. I like that idea.
And then it's a matter. And then the next step, I think, after that might be what you were talking about. You know, what's the earning potential of each one, and then prioritize that.
Okay.
Right. And then how do you reach? How do you grow each one of those pieces?
That sounds like a lot of work and probably as far as I want to go.
And that's perfect, right? And that's kind of where we are. So Melba, when do you think you could get this list created? Just the list, the first step, just making the list.
I would say I'd like to do it by tomorrow morning before noon.
Okay. Can you send me a text when you've created that list and say, hey, I got it done?
I will.
That's perfect.
Thank you.
Perfect. Okay, folks, that's kind of what a session kind of feels like.
And it was a good session. I got a lot of good stuff out of it. Thank you, sir.
Right. Now, granted, Melba had already thought through about where she wanted to go. And if you have if you're kind of in a quandary and you don't know, you're kind of the I don't know stage, but I don't like what I'm doing. That's another great way to go to the life coach because they can, through questioning, they can help you kind of sort through
mm-hmm.
what that may be.
And sometimes life coaches need another life coach.
Yeah.
Obviously.
That's absolutely true. You know, but it's one of those things where if you don't know what you're looking for, but you know that you're not satisfied with what you're doing, whether it's personal or professional. It's a good time to go see a life coach because they can help. They have many tools at their command that can help you hone in. Much like what we just did with Melba. Mm-hmm. What is it you like to do? You know?
Yeah.
Well, I love to play guitar, right? And I'm not going to make, but not so much I'm going to make money at it. Number one, I don't quite have that talent.
Enjoy it.
But I like playing, you know? So no one's going to hire. I don't believe people will hire me to pay me. So okay, well, that's not my moneymaker, but it's something very important to me. And since it's very important to me, it's very high on my list to do. As a matter of fact, I became on the board of directors for a program called Pick and Bow, which is keeping old bluegrass and Appalachian music alive up here in the mountains of Georgia with all the elementary and middle school kids.
I love it. It's fantastic.
And it's great. While I am not, no one's going to put me on the stage, I'm good enough to teach the little kids how where the chords are and what the strings are and so on. They all already the fifth graders already play better than I do. but for me that was very rewarding, and I found to do that through life coach, through working with Melba as my life coach. That's how I kind of came to that conclusion about, music is important to me. Let's find a way.
And you did find a way
to make it meaningful.
Right.
Now it's a not paying gig. I mean, it's not. But I didn't need it. That wasn't my goal.
Right.
Right. My goal was to go have fun with music.
Well, I look at it two ways. There's a monetary, like getting paid the cash, and then there's the karma points.
Yeah.
So you're building karma points when you're helping those kids.
And there's nothing wrong with building up karma points, folks. I'm telling you.
Karma points are good.
Are a good thing.
Well, is there anything you want to switch roles? Or
sure.
Is there anything in particular? Now, I have to put a disclaimer out to you people out there. I'm on sinus medicine, and if anybody, I can't imagine anybody being addicted to this mess, but anyway.
I made her sit on a tack so she can't fall asleep. So.
I may not be going on all cylinders today, but we're going to give it a shot.
Well, go ahead, Melba.
So, Ben, is there anything you want to work on or any thoughts that you're having that you want to work on today?
There is.
Okay.
As I just spoke about, you know, I can play guitar, but I really would like to branch out and get, I have a mandolin now, thanks to some very dear friends of mine.
I would like
to start branching out and playing that, but I keep getting stalled because I'm not this guitar virtuoso.
Yes.
You know, so how can you be taking up another instrument? So I'm kind of caught in that quandary of, you know, you can't move on until I can play this like a professional, you know.
Yeah, but where is that belief coming from?
Yeah, that's a good question, you know.
Because that's a belief system, if I'm hearing you correctly.
It is. It's kind of like, I hear my parents' voice.
Okay.
You haven't mastered this, you know, so you want to be a jack of all trades and a master of none. you know what I mean? That kind of philosophy.
So is this a belief, one of your truths? Can you tell me where the truth is in that?
I choose for it not to be one of my truths.
Okay.
You know, because here's what happens. I go to these jams and I play all the time when I can. And it's just so much fun. But there's always 30 guitars. I'm over exaggerating, but there's a lot more.
Okay.
There's a lot of guitars.
Okay.
And there's one or two mandolin players, or there's one fiddle player. And I wouldn't mind a fiddle either, you know.
Okay.
I don't want to play violin, thank you very much.
It's a fiddle.
But playing fiddle.
If you play in the Appalachian Mountains, it's a fiddle.
It's a fiddle. So these are the kinds of things that fly around, and I would like to take all three.
Okay, so which one is the most pressing that you feel you're drawn to?
Well, that's a good question. It would definitely be between fiddle and mandolin, but probably mandolin.
Well, you have a mandolin.
I have a mandolin. I do, and I really would like to begin to play that more.
Okay, so what is stopping you?
Picking up the phone and calling a very good friend of mine who plays mandolin and committing, I'm wrong. It's the commitment.
The commitment. Okay.
Yeah.
Not the belief, but the commitment.
The commitment to playing mandolin.
Okay.
To putting my mandolin in the case and carrying it with me to a jam.
Well, do you feel like you're getting closer? Tell me when you're thinking about, and do you want us to kind of dialogue a time frame, or is that, are you still in the thinking stage?
No, I've had the paralysis of analysis for long
okay.
enough. I would like to move forward.
Well, let's back up a minute and want to ask you why, other than the parents, and you know, we all have mommy and daddy issues and what they told us. So, would you be willing to suspend that belief system and create your own belief system that I can play all three of these? I don't have to be good at any of them.
I'm getting there. I want to. Not being good, I would be good enough to take it to a jam. That's my goal.
Okay, so here's a thought. The guitar and the mandolin and the fiddle, they all have totally different sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine that you play them entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, other than it's obvious you play their stringed instrument.
Right.
So just for a second, could you explore playing the mandolin? And seeing yourself there at the jam playing the mandolin, can you do that?
I can.
Okay.
I can.
And what does that feel like?
It feels pretty cool. Apprehensive of it, but you always are at a jam because you're kind of getting out there in front of me.
Okay.
I mean, the people at the jams are, you can hear everybody from a beginner, rank beginner like myself, to people that are paid professionals.
Okay.
At these jams that I go, oh, yeah, they're all very nice, and that's the point. Is that everybody goes, oh, cool, you're playing mandolin now.
Well, do you feel like there's a little bit? Tell me how you're feeling as far as, okay, I'm kind of on the bottom of the list here because I'm just now starting out versus, you know, it's a confidence.
I think that's a good ego question, and yeah, it's wrapped up in there.
Okay,
you know, it is wrapped up in there. But I'm willing, I think I could be okay with suspending that and just having fun with it.
Okay. So when do you think you want to make that phone call and start those lessons?
I would do that tomorrow.
Give me a time, please.
I'll send you a text by noon.
Okay. Will you text me also to tell me you've got it done?
Yep, I will.
And last but not least, how does that feel?
Oh, I'm scary and relieving all at the same time, you know?
Well, okay. Do we need to dialogue about the terror barrier?
Well, the terror barrier is just imagine carrying it into the jam.
And because there's not that many mandolin players, so if you mess up, it's going to stick out?
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, that's probably very normal and natural feeling.
Oh, it is. I mean, everybody does, and nobody cares except me.
Well, sure. You don't. Yeah. I mean, that's very, I would say that's just totally normal human nature. So.
I mean, jam etiquette is pretty simple. If you don't know the tune, you're not playing very much.
Okay. But my goodness. So do you have to play at the jam can you wait to play at the jam until you kind of get some lessons and some practice under your belt?
Yeah, you can, but the sooner you go, the better off you are. Because you play with others and your timing, and there's a whole list of things, but yes.
Okay.
Once you have the basics.
Okay. Well, it sounds exciting.
It does. Yeah. It really does.
Because I know that mandolin, that was, of course, Eddie's. It came out.
You and Eddie, as far as I know, you and Eddie gave me my mandolin, and I am.
Now you have to use it.
I've been in the privacy of my own music and my husband, but I haven't ever taken it out.
Oh, awesome.
So, I I've made the decision that this winter, Heather and I have decided that Tuesday nights is no technology night.
Fantastic.
So, it's games, reading, and music.
Okay.
You know, we're
not necessarily in that order, huh?
Exactly. We may play a game, we may not. But the point is that she may go into her art studio, and I may go into my music studio.
That's great.
And play. And so I'm thinking that that'll be really, really a great time for me to play all my instruments, right? I mean, Melvin, you've seen my music room. I have four guitars, yes. a mandolin, and two ukuleles.
Well, I think that sounds wonderful, and I'll be looking forward to the test.
Yes, very much so.
And maybe one of these days we can hear you play.
Yeah, that would be fun. Eddie and I could get together and do something. That would be fun.
Anything else?
No, I do.
So that's another. I know that we said we ask open-ended questions, but I was trying to, in this particular case, I know Ben very well. I was trying to get him to agree that he doesn't really have to choose an instrument just because he can't. You haven't conquered. I think you could probably play for life and never ever get to like the expert. I don't know.
I'm never going to be Tommy Emmanuel.
Who's Tommy Emmanuel?
Oh, I'm looking him up online sometime.
Okay.
Yeah, he's
probably some blues player.
he's pretty amazing.
Okay, if he in my world he would be maybe equivalent to Eric Clapton.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Eric Clapton can play the thing out of a guitar.
Oh yeah, Eric is one of my idols as well.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks for listening, folks. That's kind of how it goes. We like to have fun in our coaching time. And our goal is not only to help you with your goals and to provide accountability, we want you to feel better at the end of your life coaching session than when you came in.
Yeah, it's about because you made a step. I mean, I feel better because I've made a decision to take a step. I've agreed to do a step. Now, I may make that step and go, this is not the right one.
Yep.
And that's perfect. That is absolutely fine. Then it's a matter of coming back to your life coach and go, I tried that. That wasn't, evidently that's not where I wanted to go because I'm not feeling better about it or whatever it may be. So folks, that's what we're trying to come up, get across with by doing these little scenarios that we just do. About, it's really painful. It's all about you.
It is.
And however you feel about it is fine. Even though when you don't know.
And exploring how you learn, what you want to learn, the things that's out there. Exploration, sometimes you have to chalk it up to, okay, try that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that again. Or you just run with it. So Ben gave me some good strategies to do. And I don't know about you, but I like to kind of sort of have a loose plan.
Oh, I am not one for every step to be choreographed. You know? Because that's where a lot of that happens is it's a great avoidance technique.
Yes.
And you feel good because you're planning. Mm-hmm. But if you never get out of planning, then you know, you never quite move the ball forward.
Well, if you have so much structure, you're not open to spirit guiding you in a different direction. You got to leave. You got to have some empty spaces, some white spaces, just to allow for some guidance from another realm, right, if you will.
No, that's absolutely true. That is absolutely true. So anyway, for the hope, we're taking some of the fear out of maybe calling a life coach to help you all out, because that's the way it really goes. It's just a very casual kind of conversation. Mm-hmm. About what you truly want and desire. And then about building the steps to get there.
So we are really good at determining, based on the conversation, the dialogue, I call it, you're either in the thinking stage, the processing stage, or the doing stage.
That's correct.
So whatever stage that you're in, we can guide you and work with you to come up with some ideas how to get moving through all the three stages.
Yeah, absolutely. More than one client's walked in here and go, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm sure not happy with what I'm doing.
Right.
And that's kind of where we start.
That happens.
Yeah. You know, the first question I always ask the client, a new client, when they sit down is, why are you here? And sometimes I'll go, I'm not real sure, but I don't like what I'm doing. There's got to be something better.
Yes.
Whether it's life in general or whether it's a job or whatever it may be. And that's a perfect place to start.
It is. The first, you have to acknowledge that you're not happy and you don't like what you're doing.
Oh, that's true. Oh. What, think about, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But you think about how much gumption it took to make the phone call to make the appointment.
I know.
I mean, that's a huge.
It is.
That's the hardest step forward right there.
It is. It is. It's that little gap in between I want to do something different and actually picking up the phone or talking to somebody. That's a big step.
Yeah, because it's easy to wallow and get trapped in the wallow, you know, of I hate my job's so bad.
Okay, Eeyore.
It's so bad.
you know, one of our clients said that, I'm afraid if I come to you, this was later on in the conversation, I was afraid that if I came to you, and my energy level is so low right now that you're going to give me all of these things to do and I'm just going to feel overwhelmed. And because I don't have the energy to deal, I'm doing good to get up in the morning to go to my job and make it through the day. So we're not here to give you a to-do list. We want to shore you up energetically, spiritually, psychologically. Whatever we need to do, we're not going to demand anything.
Right. That's you couldn't have said it better. Because when the person comes in, there may be an appointment to come see you because it's all they can do to get up in the morning to get through the day.
Yes.
And you think about it, not many of us want to go that way.
That to me is a slow death.
Yeah.
Slow death.
So then, I mean, we've all had jobs like that or worlds like that. And then eventually change can happen.
Yeah.
It's about understanding that when you start talking to someone who's in that position, mm-hmm. you go, well, what do you really love to do?
Yeah. Well, or just taking care of the basics, like how are you sleeping?
Yeah. How are you eating?
Yes. Are you able to get out to get some physical exercise or some sunshine? We just don't hone in on what you've got to be doing.
Right.
To move forward.
Sometimes, you know, the job is overwhelming. And I was one that used to sleep with my Crackberry next to me all night long, never turned it off.
Yeah.
And then wondered why I was miserable. Mm-hmm. And then, folks, y'all get your pencils out, get ready to write this down.
Oh, really?
Here's a magic tidbit for you. A pearl of wisdom. Turn the damn thing off.
Right.
When you go to bed at night.
Right.
You know? Turn the damn thing off when you go to bed. You'd be amazed. All of a sudden, you're going to sleep sounder because you're not listening to the buzz. A lot of people say, oh, I'm muted. Yeah, well, you hear the buzz.
Yeah, you do. It vibrates all over the nightstand.
It doesn't change anything. You still hear it.
Plus, you don't want all of that electromagnetic fields right there at your head anyway when you're sleeping.
Yeah.
You know, that could be interfering with your sleep.
Oh, absolutely. And even though I still get my 8 hours, well, you're not, but you're still sleeping with that one eye open. You know, parents knew this feeling. You never sleep well until you knew all the kids are in bed.
Right.
Right? Especially when they become teenagers. Trust me.
Well, I just remember I always felt like when I got them potty trained and they could actually verbally tell me what's wrong with them, then I could sleep.
Yeah, then you knew. I mean, and that's the challenge. That is the challenge. Is so like I said, turn that stuff off, especially because getting a good night's sleep is step number one.
It is. I mean, now there's all kinds of research that says getting a good night's sleep, maintain your weight, it helps the serotonin, dopamine levels stay in balance. And your body is actually rebuilding itself at night when you're asleep. So it's imperative to stay healthy.
So, and folks, unless you're dealing in an international marketplace, no one's going to tell you at 2:00 in the morning that you need to answer the email, the text, or the phone.
Right. You know, I always said, if somebody's calling me that time of morning, it is never a good.
It is never
good
news.
Situation there.
Right. So with that, folks, you know, hope to give you a little bit, a little flavor of what it might feel like. Take some of the apprehension out of picking up the phone. I highly recommend that if you need it, give a life coach in your area a call, and you'll be amazed at how much having a coach in your corner like this can really turn the tide for you.
Right. We're here just for you.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
Yeah, that's it.
You may bring everybody else in the family up, but we're back on.
We're back in here. We're on your team.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Is it already time?
Oh, it's close.
Okay.
You got anything else you want to wrap up?
No. I can't think of it.
Well, we have to mention one thing before we.
Okay. Breathing?
Yes.
You're out of here.
So, folks, whenever we're talking about good night's sleep, one of the best ways to make that happen after you turn your electronic device off.
Yeah.
Or part of the house where you can't hear it.
Yes.
Is to, when you, as you lay down to bed, you kind of set yourself up and say, okay, it's time for a good night's sleep. Breathe in for 3, hold for 3, and out for 3. And do that 5 times, and mm-hmm. I bet you get to 5.
Yeah, perfect. And then also, when you're brushing your teeth in the morning and at night, and look in the mirror and look into your own eyes and just say, I love you.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
I love you.
That's powerful.
It's very difficult to do that, but once you get to it, it's amazing
mm-hmm.
how you feel about yourself.
Right. And remember, you have to take care of self before
yes.
you take care of others. And on that note, folks, you all have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you all next week. Thank you. See ya.
I got another tune for you here from Jason.
It's about his son, and it's a beautiful little tune. Hope you enjoy it. Tune in as always. We really appreciate all our listeners out there. As always, give us a call anytime here at Sphere Innovation Group at 678-920-6700. Or check us out online at www.sphereinnovationgroup.com. Y'all have a wonderful week. See y'all next week.